غصه به پیشانی هستی سلامت، پیغام به معصومه مظلومه رسانید، کی شمس دین ای قمر برج کرامت. یا حضرت معصومه سرت باد سلامت، شد کشت رضا آن گل گلزار امامت. ریزد به سما خون دل از چشم ستاره، خیزد به فلک از جگر سنگ شراره. گریم به جگر پاره پیغمبر اکرم، کز کینه مؤمن جگر او شده پاره. بر لعل لبش زمزمه و ولدا بود، در حجره در بسته بود داشت نظاره. معصوم عزاداری رضا گشت به جنت، افسوس که شد داغ دلش تازه دوباره. یا حضرت معصومه سرت باد سلامت، شد کشت رضا آن گل گلزار امامت. افتاد جهان همچو خراسان به تلاطم، شد کشت غریب الغربا حجت هشتم. زنهای خراسان همه گویند از این داغ، خوناب جگر ریخت از دیده مردم. هستی همه از ناله شده شعله فریاد، لب بسته کتاب الله ناطق ز تکلم. افسوس که کشتن رضا را به خراسان، و از گریه معصومه قیامت شده در قوم. یا حضرت معصومه سرت باد سلامت، شد کشت رضا آن گل گلزار امامت. در توس رسد ناله زهرای حزینه، مادر به سراغ پسر آمد به مدینه. بنشسته به رخسار تقی گرد یتیمی، در را که رضا کشته شده از ری کینه. این داغ جگر را به جگر نیست نظیری، این محشر غمرم را به جهان نیست قرینه. یا فاطمه، یا فاطمه ای اخت رضا، دخت موسی، دختر موسی، برخیز و بزن دست علم بر سر و سینه. یا حضرت معصومه سرت باد سلامت، شد کشت رضا آن گل گلزار امامت. الهی کشتن غریبان غریب الغربا را، محبوب خدا بزعی پیغمبر ما را. بردن به خناب جگر اهل خراسان، بر شانه خود چوبه تابوت رضا را. ای اهل ولا، خون دل از دیده ببارید، که زهر جفا کشت عدو شمس ولا را. با خواهر او حضرت معصومه بگویید، با خواهر او حضرت معصومه بگویید، از سوز درون تسلیت این روز عزا را. یا حضرت معصومه سرت باد سلامت، شد کشته رضا آن گل گلزار امامت. قالوا انا لله و انا الیه راجعون. صلوات.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حاکم شام سے جس دم ہوئی بے ادبی، حاکم شام سے جس دم ہوئی بے ادبی، یعنی شبیر سے کرنے لگا بیعت طلبی، یعنی شبیر سے کرنے لگا بیعت طلبی. گھر میں آ کہنے لگے سبط رسول عربی، گھر میں آ کہنے لگے سبط رسول عربی، ہم یہاں رہنے کے ہم مدینے میں نہیں رہنے کہ ہم آل نبی. پاس آداب کا امت نے قرینہ چھوڑا، پاس آداب کا امت نے قرینہ چھوڑا، ہم نے بھی اپنا وطن شہر مدینہ چھوڑا، ہم نے بھی اپنا وطن شہر مدینہ چھوڑا. صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد. آئی ندائے غیب کے رک جاؤ اے حسین، آئی ندائے غیب کہ رک جاؤ اے حسین، اور سوکھا گلا لائنوں سے کٹواؤ اے حسین، سوکھا گلا لائنوں سے کٹواؤ اے حسین. حسرت سے دیکھتی ہیں زہرا کی نگاہیں، حسرت سے دیکھتی ہیں زہرا کی نگاہیں، او ماں کا بھی تھوڑا صبر تو دکھلاؤ اے حسین، ماں کا بھی تھوڑا صبر تو دکھلاؤ اے حسین. او بکھرائے ہوئے بالوں کو بیٹھی ہے زمین پر، بکھرائے ہوئے بالوں کو بیٹھی ہے زمین پر، مادر کی گود میں ذرا سو جاؤ اے حسین، مادر کی گود میں ذرا سو جاؤ اے حسین. اور جھولے سے ہمکتا ہے بشیر بشیر مسلسل جھولے سے ہمکتا ہے، بشیر مسلسل او ششماہ کو مقتل میں لے آؤ، اے حسین ششماہ کو مقتل میں لے آؤ، اے حسین اکبر نہیں قاسم نہیں عباس نہیں ہے، اکبر نہیں قاسم نہیں عباس نہیں ہے، دیکھے نہ راہ بچی کو سمجھاؤ، اے حسین دیکھے نہ راہ بچی کو سمجھاؤ، اے حسین او بالی سکینہ کس طرح زندہ میں رہے گی، بالی سکینہ کس طرح زندہ میں رہے گی، ننھی سی قبر قید میں بنواؤ، اے حسین ننھی سی قبر قید میں بنواؤ، اے حسین او سب لٹ چکا ہے سر پہ فقط ایک ردا تو ہے، سب لٹ چکا ہے سر پہ فقط ایک ردا تو ہے، او چادر بہن کے سر سے بچھنواؤ، اے حسین چادر بہن کے سر سے بچھنواؤ، اے حسین او سب داغ بہتر کے بہن کیسے سہے گی، سب داغ بہتر کے بہن کیسے سہے گی، نانا کو مدد کے لیے بلواؤ، اے حسین نانا کو مدد کے لیے بلواؤ، اے حسین آئی ندائے غیب کے رک جاؤ، اے حسین او سوکھا گلا لائنوں سے کٹواؤ، اے حسین صلوات اللہ.
On the occasion of the martyrdom of Imam Reza, we offer our condolences to the Imam of our time, to the leadership of Islam, and to all mu'mineen and mu'minat. Please recite one loud salawat. A very important announcement tonight. We are having a majlis for the soul of Sayyida Narjis Fatima Gardezi, who is the sister of Brother Hasnain Gardezi and the mother of Brother Ali Gardezi. So please recite one Suratul Fatiha for the soul of Sayyida Narjis Fatima Gardezi. Just a few announcements before we start the speech. One important announcement was that the moon was sighted tonight for the first of Rabiul Awal. So as far as the programs for the next Rabiul Awal, we will have the Shahadat of Imam Hassan al-Askari, which will be Saturday night on January 19th. Then the next day will be Eid al-Zahra, and that will be on Sunday night, which would be January 20th. The birthday of the Prophet, the Miladun Nabi, will fall on January 28th, which will be a Monday night. And we will be having a barbecue with respect to the birthday of the Prophet and Eid al-Zahra. After the birthday of the Prophet, we will send details out through email and also make announcements. Just a couple of upcoming events One brother Khair Muhammad is having a majlis at his home. Everyone is invited, and Sheikh Nuruddin will be reciting. So there is a notice posted on the board that will start at 12:30 p.m. the time of Dhuhr, and it will be at 4101 Robin Way. That's 4101 Robin Way in Valrico, Florida. So if you wish to attend that, there is a board out there, and you could just grab the details. That's tomorrow, correct. Also, one last announcement. We will, for the Shahadat of Sayyidah Fatima, we're trying to invite Dr. Sheikh Saka Lashfar. So... in order to invite him, we ask brothers and sisters to donate generously so that we all can benefit from his knowledge and his presence. So with three loud salawats, please invite Sheikh Muhammad to the minbar.
Please note these names, Nargis Fatima Gardezi binte Safdar Ali Gardezi, Qalb-e Abbas Gardezi ibn Turab Ali Gardezi, Asfa Gardezi binte Nazim Ali Gardezi. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for their soul. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ اللَّعِينِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَاتُهُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى أَشْرَفِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ سَيِّدَنَا وَمَوْلَانَا أَبِي الْقَاسِمِ مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Most of the difficulties that people have in their life is because of the misunderstanding that they have regarding life, their own life, what the meaning of life is. And because they don't understand what life is, they fall into depression, they fall into sadness, and they experience that in their life because they don't understand what life is. If a person understands what is life, then one, it will be easier for him to live that life, and two, the life that he will live will be a happy life. He will enjoy it. He will actually have fun if he knows what life is. Most people don't have fun because they don't understand what life is. Many times we see that people think that if you become religious, you should become more serious and dull and dry, sometimes even angry. And you see that if you don't have that attitude, and if you don't show that behavior, people think that you're not religious. People think you're not Islamic. Because they feel that an Islamic person is someone who is mean-looking, someone whose eyes are angry. Right? And if you see him smiling and laughing, they're like, you know, he's not serious. He's not a real mu'min. And because in their understanding, that life is serious and you should take it seriously. But then what happens is that Allah is saying the opposite. Allah, in speaking about life and defining life, is saying, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوًا وَلَعِبٌ. The life of this dunya is nothing but sports and play. It's just enjoyment. The idea of life is enjoyment. The idea of life is play. The idea of life is for you to have fun. Allah didn't create you and gave you life so that you will be bored in it. Allah gave you life so that you can have fun in it, that you will enjoy, that you will feel His blessings and live His blessings and live that life to the full. That's the idea of life. Now when we are speaking about life and I started defining it, we said that there are three dimensions to life. There are three dimensions to life. Life has a length, life has a height, and life has a width. There are three dimensions of life, and life is understood through that. The length of life is how long am I going to live? How long is life for? And there we said that life that Allah gave you is forever. How long will you be alive for? You will be alive for an eternity. You will be alive forever. Is this going to stop? Is my life going to stop? No, your life is not going to stop. Once Allah gave it, that's it. He's not taking it back. Now you're alive. And this life is forever. And when we look at the length of life, many people, their misunderstanding or the result of their misunderstanding, which is sadness, gloom, depression, is because of the fact that they don't look at the complete length of their life when they're living their life. They don't look at the whole life. They think that they're alive for 50, 60, 70 years. They really think that. People think that, how long are you alive for? Oh, you know, I will die when I'm 70. What are you talking about? You see, if you are a mu'min and if you understood life, then you will say, how I'm alive forever. I'm living forever. That's it. This life is not going to be taken away from me. I'm alive forever. So when you're alive forever, now your plans and how you deal with life will be different than if you think that your life is only 50, 60, 70 years old. This is the difference. When we don't understand what life is, this is where the problem comes in. And obviously, if you think you're only alive for 70 years, and if you live this life thinking you're just alive for 70 years, this is a miserable life you will live. No matter how much and what you do in this life, your life will be depressive. It will be depression. Why? Because 70 years and that's all I did? This is my life and that's all I did? Everything you do will fall short of expectation. Every expectation you have will never be met. Every dream you have will never be fulfilled. And even if it is fulfilled, it won't be satisfying. It won't be gratifying. This is the reason why if a person thinks that the length of my life is only what I'm alive here for, you see that person will never have a happy life, no matter how much he tries to be happy. No matter how much he tries to be happy, sometimes what happens is that you'll see these seminars where you have to pay loads of money to learn how to live happy. Right? You know, where you are taught there how to live happy, the secrets of happiness in life. And they teach you how to smile. That's what they do. They teach you how to smile. Have fun. No problems. Smile. See, like this. Smile. Now tell me, is that real happiness or is that trying to put a facade over the depression that exists inside? There's a real depression that exists inside and you're telling me to smile? Is this how I'm going to be happy? Right? When you look at this, is this how I'm going to become like truly happy? Really look at this. So what are you trying to teach me here? This fake smile I put on myself, hey, I'm happy, you know, I'm happy. But until the end, when you like really know that this is the end, then you're like, the heck with this, man. I am depressed. And I paid all this money for all these seminars for this. Until the end, when reality really hits you in the face, then you really get depressed. So that is not the way for happiness. Why? The reason for depression is not being understood. Really, it's not being understood. If you right now know that you're only alive for 5 days, how much and what can you do to earn gratification and satisfaction from that 5 days? How much can you achieve in those 5 days to achieve satisfaction? What do you need to do? What can you do in the next, you know, let's say, you know, you're told by a doctor you only have 5 days to live. Or let's say the doctor didn't tell you, the judge told you. Right? You only have 5 days to live. That's it. So now what happens? What can you do in those 5 days that will bring you true gratification? Really, everything that you do, you will see that, you know, again, that you think that I want this, I want this, I want this. Let's see, you know, okay, what do you want? You know, I want to have a mansion. Right? Let's say every wish of yours is granted. You have 5 days to live, and I say, I will grant every wish of yours. Tell me, what do you want? I want a mansion. I want food. I want girls. I want this. Tell me, what do you want? I will do it. You see what will happen? Every wish that is granted to you will make your desire for it more and increase it more. Every wish, it's not going to fulfill it. It's not going to quench it. It's just going to make it more. It's going to make it more. So my friends, understand this. If your concept of the length of your life is wrong, there's never any time in this life where you'll find gratification. You will not find happiness. This is why the length of life is so important. And when we look at the length, if it's forever, how much is our life in this dunya compared to eternity? How much of this life is here compared to eternity? Nothing? There's no comparison, right? There's nothing. It's worth nothing. Look at the life here. It's just, what, 50 years compared to eternity? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years? If you lived 80 years, you know, obviously, the 80 years that you're living, half of it is useless anyway. Right? Half of it is useless anyway. And hence, that amount of time for that much, you see, when you look at the length of life that you will live, life in this world becomes meaningless. Life in this world becomes meaningless. What is the life in this world? It's nothing. I'm going to be alive there forever. That's what I'm going to be there. Forever. Eternity. That's it. I'm going to be there. So when you look at the length of life, then the life in this dunya has no meaning. Really has no meaning. So, but this is only one dimension of life. Now let's go to the second dimension of life, which is height. Height. Let me explain that if you send aloud salawats. Subhanallah. You know, when we want to live a life, when you want to live a life, obviously there's different levels of living it. You see, not the length. We know the length. This is the length. But what level of life do you want to live in that length? Say, you know, if I tell you, you will live forever, will you be happy? Yes? Okay, Allah, alhamdulillah, thank you, I will live forever. But how will I live it? He says, you will be a sheep forever. I'm happy that you gave me life forever, but a sheep? You see, imagine this. If the level of life that you have is a sheep, then really, would you be happy living forever in that situation? Right? Would you be happy that, you know what, this is one-on-one? Right? Understand this. See, the length of life is one thing. Now we need to see what level of life we want to live there. And this seeking a higher level of life, in other words, seeking betterment in our life, seeking more from life, is a natural instinct that we have. You see, when you want to do something in life, you see, all the people, yourself and everyone else included, you will see that you want to always improve yourself, make yourself better, make yourself stronger. This is what you do all the time. You're trying to improve your career. You don't want to end up in a dead-end job. People who are happy with a dead-end job and say that, oh, this is all I want in life. I want to be a mailman. That's it. This is the goal of my life, to be a mailman. And then they justify, you know, their lack of inspiration to become better. They justify it by saying, it makes me feel good because I'm serving humanity. You know, helping people and this and that. It's just justification for you not getting anything better. Right? The idea, if you want to seek something better, if you want to climb the ladder of success, there's nothing wrong with it. It's only natural for you to do that. It's only natural for you to do that. The only thing is that ladder that you're climbing, you can only climb it so far in this dunya. You see, you can only climb it so far in this dunya. You can't climb more than that. You can only go so far in this dunya. That's all you can do. And hence, the levels that where the ceiling is cut off in this world, where the ladder of the hereafter starts from there. It goes up from there. How far can you go up? How far can you go up? You know, just imagine this. Allah, I want to live forever, but whatever. But Allah says, all right, you'll get an apartment over here, 2-bedroom. Forever in this 2-bedroom? You know, it will be a jail, right? I mean, here, if you own a 2-bedroom, it's a blessing. Right? For a lot of us, 2-3 bedroom is a blessing. Allah says, 4-bedroom house granted forever. He says, Allah, I will look at only 4-bedroom for eternity. Right? It will be there. How big of a house can you imagine in this dunya? How big of a mansion can you imagine in this dunya? Tell me, what is the biggest mansion? You know, you see all these pictures and all these things. How many rooms does it have? How many rooms does it have? You know, well, you know, Mawlana, there are about 150 bedrooms in that house. And we think that's a lot. Why? Because let's say, you know, I want to sleep in 1 bedroom for 1 month. That'll be my life. Right? That's my life here. 1 month in a bedroom, 150 months, that's it, you know. And I'm gone. Imagine this. 150 rooms seems a lot here. Why? Because in this world, we're only alive for 50, 60, 70 years. But if you have to live an eternity in a mansion of 150 rooms, you will be so bored that you will say, Allah, please take me away from this hell. My friends, the heights of Jannat, where they start off, are much higher than the height that this dunya can ever reach. There's no comparison between that. That's why Allah is saying that, listen, there's a height that you want to reach also. I don't want you to live in a hut forever. I don't want you to be a sheep or a monkey forever. Right? I don't want you to just, you know, have this ceiling forever. I want you to attain a height that will be useful for you, that will be helpful for you, make your life more fulfilling. Allah, how do I do that? Where do I go? Where do I start? Where is it that I can earn all these things? I mean, and you know what? The height there, there's no limit for it. Really. The height there, there's no limit for it. Let me give an example if you send a salawat. One more salawat. The principle is that height that is obviously in Jannat, in Akhirat, such a high and so many levels there of height. All of that, Allah is saying that you need to gain all of that here in this dunya. Allah, you made a life that is eternal after this 50 years, 60 years I'm alive. Now you have made a ceiling and a levels that are so high, but you want me to earn all those levels here in this 50 years? You see, it's from here that the life of this dunya starts to get a meaning. When you looked at the length of life, it had no meaning. When you look at the height of life, it has every meaning. In other words, every moment of our life is an opportunity, is a chance to achieve greatness. You know what this is? Really, life in this world is a cartoon world. It's a cartoon world. We think we are restricted in the steps we take, but each step we take here is billions of steps of the Akhirat. You know, I don't know if these kids ever watched this old movie I saw, animated movie, Disney movie, Space Jam. He did, right? The older guy there. Yeah, he did. That's what the kids are. But it's all right. You watched it, right? Michael Jordan's in that movie. You know, it's with like cartoon characters. And you see in the movies about, you know, him trying to save their world by playing a basketball game. And he's trying to play hard and hard and hard and all these things. Yeah, and he's saying, why is it so hard here? This and I can't do it. You know, so then, you know, like for example, Bugs Bunny tells him, hey, listen, our rules are different here. You can stretch out and do many things like cartoon people can do. He says, why don't you tell me so? Right? And then he, you know, starts to play with the rules there. My friends, imagine it in the same light. If you understand the rules of Akhirat, and if you play according to that, you achieve much more here. You achieve much more over here. If you just look at the restrictions of dunya here and go according to those rules, then you see, obviously we think, well, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. But the rules of Akhirat are different. Look at those rules and play according to them. Then each step of yours will become billions. It is said that one salawat is a billion levels of jannats. So instead of wasting time, what should you be doing? This, my friends, is where those levels are. And we don't see that. We don't see it here. The effects, the reality, we will see when we die. Yes, Allah didn't make our eyes open to these things, the effects of good or the effects of bad. Allah didn't make us open to these things for good reason. For good reason, really. Because if He had made the effects open to us, then the goodness in our actions will lose its meaning. I want you to understand that. Understand that. The goodness in your action will lose its value if He let us know that. For example, if you pray after every prayer, if Allah gives you a, you know, a fat, thick load of $100 bills, right? Right there, after you pray, every time, boom, it comes up. What'll happen? Right? Your prayer will lose its meaning though, right? It will lose its meaning. Allah kept that hidden from us so that our prayers would have that real meaning. Would have that real meaning. And on the flip side also, when you do something wrong, Allah did not reveal it for you. If every time, for example, you drank beer, this huge mole came in your head. Or your face, this ugly little wart, right? You had in your face. Would you drink? You know, boom, pap, you know, pops up, you know, like Pinocchio. You know, his nose is growing every time he lies, right? Would you do that? Of course you won't do that. No one would do anything wrong if He had revealed the effects of evil. You see, that's the reason Allah kept it hidden away from us, so that evil does have consequences and good actions would have value. He kept it hidden from us for that. And that's why we see that we don't see that effect that's happening. But when we are told it's happening, now it's our turn to believe in that. To believe in that. You know what? It might look like a small step for you in this world, but what I'm doing is a great step in the Akhirat. The real effect of it are real and huge and humongous. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Let me tell you a story now. This Sheikh Sayyid Alim, right? three of his friends who were also ulama and scholars, you know, not ulama in their sense, they were students. They became shaheed. All of the three friends became shaheed. They went to the battlefield, they died in Allah's way, and they became shaheed. He had a dream in regards to two of them. He saw them in the dream. They were like, they came, he said, how are you doing? He said, we are very well, thank you, this and that. He says, where's the third guy? Where's your friend? He's also a shaheed. He says, he is way up there. He's way up there. Says, what do you mean way up there? He says, he's so high, we can't reach him. Sometimes he comes down and visits us. Sometimes he comes down and visits us, but he's way up there. Really, he's way up there. He says, wow, what happened? All of three of you were in the same class. Everything was good, this and that. You know, how did you, what did you do to get stuck behind? What did you do to get stuck behind there? You are lagging behind him. He said, you know, the problem that we did, or what we did that made us lag behind him, is that we didn't listen to one advice he gave us. There's one advice he used to give us, and others used to give us also. He says, what made this separation between you and them? He's saying the thing that made the separation, and listen to this carefully, what made the separation between us and them, and this is this disparity we have, is because we had gotten used to listening to this speaker. He was giving speeches. Speaker, you know, one who recites majlis. And we were told that this person is not sincere, do not listen to his speeches. We listened to it for a month, and because of that, we could not attain the height that he attained. We are lagging behind. Meaning you listen to someone who's wrong, someone who's insincere, someone who's doing these speeches for wrong reasons, for money, for fame. Yes, you can say, oh, we can learn from a munafiq also. You can say you can learn from a munafiq, but brothers, who can learn from him? You are a mu'min. Why are you learning from a munafiq for? Yes, others, anyone else, you know, someone who's a outsider, he can learn from a munafiq, but you are a mu'min. Why are you learning from a munafiq for? You should have the awareness of not to be involved in listening to someone who's wrong. Someone who doesn't stand for Allah. Yeah. So just because this person was simple-minded, this alim was simple-minded. No, you know, he's like simple-minded, this and that. I listened to him 1 month. I was told, do not listen to him. You will be affected by him. I didn't realize the effects then, but in Akhirat I realized the effects, how much a difference it can make. How much a difference can it make? Just one. And he's not a bad person. He's an alim you're talking about. He's a sheikh. He's sitting on the minbar. He's saying things about Imam Hussein. He's not speaking about shaitan or America or any one of these things. He's not speaking about that. He's speaking about Allah, Ahlul Bayt. Subhanallah. There also, you see, this disparity comes about. The effect of that is seen there. This is why it's very important that each step that we take here has a huge consequences in our akhirat. Each step that we take, whether going forward or whether going backward, either step, that's why you see, when we look at the height that we can gain in life, this dunya and this life here becomes so important. Every moment becomes important. Every second is important here. What am I doing in this second? I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to waste here. Really, we don't have time to waste here. Time just goes by. What are you doing about this time? Did you ever realize I can use this time to make my level higher? Just that much, my friends. Just that much. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let me read a hadith for you in regards to this. It is said by our imams that ni'mal awn ad-dunya ala al-akhirah. It says that the best helper for your akhirat is your dunya. This is the best helper that you have. The best help that you have. The best assistance you have is right here, your life here. This is the best assistance you have. Use it, my friends. Do not let it go away. The height is unlimited. Allah, He doesn't have a shortage. There is no shortage with Allah. That's why when we think about it, you know, when we hear the hadith regarding, for example, the normal three-bedroom homes of Jannat, you know, the normal, you know, run-of-the-mill mansions, right, that, you know, for example, anyone who gets there gets. It's like it says, you know, it has, for example, 70 doors, and within those 70 doors are one more 70 doors, and within those 70 doors are this many rooms, and in those rooms are this many rooms, and in those rooms are this many rooms. You start counting them, and you're like, okay, I lost count. This is like the simple. This is like the simple stuff. To Allah, there is no shortage. There is no shortage. You can gain so much out of this. But where do you gain that? In this dunya. My friends, looking at the length of life, dunya has really no meaning. Looking at the height of life, dunya means everything. Life of this dunya means everything. Now you see how Allah has devised this concept of life, so that on one angle when we look at life, it's like meaningless. On another angle when we look at the life of this world, it becomes everything. These polarizing effects that it has, this is where the challenge is, this is where the excitement is in life. If a person understands life, then you know what? Life is fun for him. It's a challenge for him. The only reason people don't have fun with life is because they don't know what life is. You know, they don't know what life is. It's like, for example, they have been given a blessing without a handbook. This is a blessing. Okay, what do I do with this blessing? I didn't get a handbook with it. How do I use it? So you just have it there, lying around there. You know? For example, marriage. A lot of people get married without a handbook. So what happens? You know? Marriage is there, wife is there, husband is there, they have no clue what they're doing. And hence, those marriages become dry, stale, they have no clue, you know? Why? Because they don't know how to use it, how to take advantage of it. How to make this a blessing for them. They don't know that. This is why you see, when you don't know life, this is where we see things go wrong and can get wrong. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If someone really lives through this life, and if you can see the meaning of life, and if you see someone living in this life, ourselves, look at myself. Am I living in this life? Am I taking advantage of this opportunity that I have? I would feel bad, right? I have this opportunity. It's like, for example, you know, you are given a shopping cart, and you said that, listen, you have the whole store open to you, but you have 5 minutes to get whatever you want. Which section would you go in first? I mean, you will make a plan, right? you won't go to the underwear section. Pick up the underwear. Right? The socks. Would you go there to the socks? Load up on the socks? Imagine this. What plan of action are you making? Where would you attack first? Where would you go first? The whole store is there in front of you. It's right there. What are you going to go and get first? Where are you going to spend most of your time? Really, this is where, my friends, wisdom comes in. Now, if we see someone stuck in the underwear section, what would we think? If you see someone just looking at the sizes of the underwear, five minutes to go, what would you think of that person? Truly, look at it. When you look at it, wouldn't you feel sad for him? What a sad situation this is. I mean, this person has the opportunity to do this, and look at him, what he's doing. You'll feel sad, right? But imagine how the prophet felt when he saw mankind losing the opportunity to earn those greatness. Why was he killing himself over them? You really feel bad for them. Yes, on the outward it looks funny, but really it's a sad state. Sad state. Don't you know what you can do here? Don't you know what you can achieve here? Don't you know what you can be here? Subhanallah. This is where you see that life gets meaning, excitement. Someone who understands life like this, you see he's never, wasting his time. In fact, a moment never wastes his time. There's no moment who wastes his time. If you think that you are wasting time or someone is wasting your time, then you are not a mu'min. Sometimes it happens. I've seen it happening. For example, we want to go somewhere and the bus is late. We're wasting time here. Are you a mu'min? Yes. Then a mu'min, his time is never wasted. No matter what he is doing. No matter what he is doing, he's never wasted. Because you know what? If he has a plan A, he has a plan B, and a plan C, and plan D. If he has nothing to do, he has his mind where he starts thinking. He says, I have 2 minutes, let me think. Let me think. Subhanallah. He doesn't waste time. There's no wastage of time for him. If you think you're wasting your time or someone else is wasting it, then you are not a mu'min, that you haven't understood what it means. You don't waste time when you're a mu'min. That's why, for example, no matter what situation you're in, you will see you're always successful. If you are free, you're successful. If you're in jail, you're successful. If you're incarcerated, you're successful. If you are burdened, you're successful. If you have success, you're successful. If you are beaten, you're successful. Because they cannot take this time away from you. They cannot take this opportunity away from you. You have the opportunity, and that's where you see we don't make. Let me tell you about intentions, and this is it. We'll go from here. End it here. Intentions? It says, Al-A'malu bin-niyat. Actions are with intentions. You make an intention, action is done. It's real. And Allah is saying, Allah is saying, listen, Al-A'malu bin-niyat. Why did he say niyat? What about those people who actually did it? For example, I paid $6,000 to go for Hajj. He makes the niyat and gets the same reward.
I mean, I could have saved the $6,000, just made a niyat. I just made an intention to go for Hajj. No, you have the money. You go. It's wajib on you. Right? It's wajib on you. You go. Him, he doesn't have the money. So Allah, what are you doing? My friends, understand, why is this al-amalu bin niyat? It's because no one should have an excuse for not having the means to attain those things, to use it as a means not to do it. If I don't have money, if I am poor, so Allah, then Islam is only for rich people because they can give khums, they can give zakat, they can give this. I am on the receiving end all the time. I'm the one who's getting the zakat, I'm the one who's getting the khums, I'm the one who's getting these things and help and all these things. So how am I being helped? He says, all right, if you cannot give, then at least make the niyyah that if I have it, I would give it. Then I will give you the same reward as the one who's giving it. So your lack of not having would not be a means for you not to earn your akhirat. Understand this. This is where you see Allah made that niyat is criteria. That if you don't have it, make it. And once you get it, now it will be the time if your niyat was sincere or not. Now it will be known if your niyat was sincere or not. Allah, if I have the money, I would help the poor, this and that. Allah will one day will say, okay, you know what? Granted. Then you're like, let me run away with this. Allah will say, you see, all those niyat you made were fake. Right? So it's better those niyat don't come out true. Meaning those wishes don't come out true. Allah doesn't give you the money. At least you go with the niyat. If Allah does give you the money, my friends, then it becomes a test on you. Then it becomes a test on you. If He doesn't give it to you at all, then you die with those niyat and Allah will give you the rewards for it. Subhanallah. This is my friends. This is my friends. Not everyone. Why? Because you know what? It would be wrong. It would be wrong for Allah that, for example, He obviously those who have the opportunity can attain those things. Well, what about those who don't have the opportunity? What should they do? Allah, if I had the opportunity, I would do it also. I would do it also, right? I would give that qums, I would give the zakat, I would help the poor, I will build a masjid, I will do all these things if I had it. Allah is saying, okay, make the niyat. Allah, so right now, make the niyat. Make it. Now. Don't wait until after the speech. Make it now. Allah, if I have it right now, that if You give me the blessings right now, I would use it in Your way. If I have wealth right now, I would use it in Your way. Make those intentions right now. And Allah is saying, you know what? Your reward is the same as the one who's giving it. It's the same as the one who's giving it. And Allah did not want to make this disparity. Because I don't have it, I can't earn Jannat. No. No one should have an excuse for that. No one should have an excuse for that. So if you have an opportunity, do it. If you don't have an opportunity, then make the intention for having it. Allah did not want to do injustice to those who don't have an opportunity. What was my mistake? What is my mistake? That I wasn't there when Imam Hussein was calling people. Subhanallah. I mean, if I had the chance to answer his call, wouldn't I answer his call? Wouldn't I answer his call? I mean, really, look at this. Allah is saying, okay, make the niyat. Make the niyat. And say that if I were with you, I would have also given my life for you. I would also give my life for you. Say, you make the niyat and I will assure you, I will raise you with the same people who gave their life. But beware of something. Beware of the fact that, you know, you make this niyat and the test is given to you. You know what you should be afraid of? In that case, if you are actually given that opportunity now, if the Imam does come back, then now Allah is saying, now you made the intention, now you have the opportunity. Go forward. Go forward. My friends, if you did not have the chance to be in Karbala, if you did not have the chance to answer the call of Hussein, if you did not have the chance to defend the haram of Rasulullah, if you did not have the chance to protect the children of Hussein, if you did not have the chance to make sure that the children of Hussein do not die before you, if you did not have the chance to make sure that the rida from the head of Zainab is not taken away from her, to defend her, if you did not have the chance to make sure that Imam Sajjad doesn't walk on thorns, if you did not have the chance to protect the children of Hussein's family falling off the camelbacks, if you did not have the chance to be there when Zainab was brought in the court of Sham, and that you can also stand up and say, this is the household of Rasulullah, why are you doing this to them? And to give your life, if you did not have the chance to stand in front of the ladies so that the men do not see them, then Allah is saying, make the niyyah that if you were there, you would have done it. Allah, if I was there, I would be there to protect those children. I would be there to give my life. I would be there to stand in front of the ladies so that others do not see them. I would be there to hold up Imam Sajjad, at least so I can give him some support before I die. This is where you see that you are precious. You can make that niyat right now and earn that reward and be with those who have done that. Be with those who have done that, because they were very precious for Hussein and his family. They were very precious for Imam Sajjad, those people who were there to help him throughout the journey. They were very precious. What can I say? Just to remember right now, you know, the shahadat of Imam Ali Radha alayhi salam, just one few words I will say regarding him, you know, few words regarding him, so that inshallah you give your condolences for his shahadat. Today was the day of his shahadat, and inshallah, you know, we want to remember him, Imam Radha. You know who Imam Radha was? Just let me tell you one story about him. Imam Radha was poisoned. Imam Radha was poisoned. The poison was such, it went into his stomach and right away started eating up his stomach. He was in a lot of physical pain. But you know what he was poisoned in the morning. The effect was there the whole day. But you know, he was alone in the house with his servants. But he did not tell his servants, you know. He did not tell his servants that he is in pain. He hid that pain from them. He kept it away from them, did not want to tell them that he is in pain. And Imam Radha just went through that. The servants were there, they offered him lunch. He said, no, I cannot eat. He could not eat. There's nothing he could do. He could not eat. He says, no, you go ahead and eat. So they ate. And then when dinner came again, Imam Radha, he was offered dinner and he said, no, please, you eat. I cannot eat. And they ate dinner. After they ate dinner, imagine this, after they ate dinner, Imam could not handle the pain anymore. The physical pain, he could not handle it. And he crumpled to the ground. He crumpled to the ground in a wincing of pain and agony. And as he fell to the ground, the servants came around him, picked him up, trying to relieve him of his pain, and said, Mawla, how long have you been like this for? He said, I've been like this since last night. He says, then why didn't you tell us that? Why didn't you let us know that? He says, because I didn't want you to lose your appetite over me. I didn't want you to lose your appetite over me. This is the servants he's dealing with. This is Imam Ridha, my friends. This is the reason why Imam Jawad said that if you go and visit Imam Ridha, all your sins are forgiven. When the Imam is such that he is thinking so much about his subjects, so much that he is willing to bear hardships, going through hardships, so that they don't lose their appetite, they can enjoy their meal while he's in pain. This is the Imam, my friends. And that Imam Ridha, when he crumpled to the ground, the servants came around him, picked him up, tried to help him, relieve him. But there's no relief from this pain. This pain has now taken over. And Imam knows this. He tells Abba Salt, his servant. He says, Abba Salt, there is no use right now. Just take me to my room. Take me to my room, Abba Salt. And I will give you some instructions. He says, take me to my room. Lock me from outside. Lock me from outside. Don't let anyone else in the house. There will be people who will come and say, no, I'm not visiting them. Do not let anyone else in the house. But you know what? Only one person, let him in if you see him come in. He says, who is that? You will see a young boy who will come to meet me. When you see this young boy come to meet me, then let him come inside. Let him come into my room. He will know what to do with me. He will know what to do with me. So now Abba Salt says that when I kept him in the room, I was worried. I was walking around trying to think what is going to happen to him. If he's alive or not, I would go and check up on him one time or another. I would just go there to see, to peek inside, to see if he's all right or not. Once when I went there, I saw that he had removed the rugs from the room, exposed the dirt, and he was rolling in the dirt back and forth. He was rolling in the dirt back and forth in his pain and saying, Jaddi Hussain, my grandfather Hussain, is this how you felt when you were at Karbala? Is this how you felt when you were in Karbala? Is this how you felt? Is this how you felt when Ali Akbar died next to you? Is this how you felt when Asghar died in your hand? Is this how you felt when you reached the body of Abbas? I want to feel the pain that you have been in. I want to feel the pain that you have been in. Imam Ridha is remembering Imam Hussain, trying to feel the pain Hussain felt on the day of Ashura. Abba Salt, I could not help but cry for my Imam as he's in the pangs of agony and he's remembering Hussain and wants to see that. Now he comes forward. Now he says, I was waiting. Everyone who would come there, I would say, no, Imam is not able to meet anyone. Imam is not able to meet anyone. And then I saw a boy knock on the door. I opened the door. It was a young boy. It was a young boy. And he addressed me by my name. He says, Abba Salt, let me in. I let him in. He says, where? Where is he? He says, he's in that room. He went directly to the room, opened the door, went inside there. I went after him to see, and then I saw him next to him. I saw him next to him. He said, who is this boy who has come? And he is next to him, Imam Ridha. And he's saying, Father, now you are leaving me, Father. You are making me an orphan, Father. Then I realized that this is the son of Ridha who has come here to give him his final rights. He came to give me his final rights. Imam Jawad, he's there. A young boy, he was only 9 years old. He came there, gave him the ghusl, he gave him the kafan, and said, we need to bury him. Gave him the burial. I would say to Imam Ridha, you wanted to feel the pain of Hussain? Imam Ridha, you want to feel the pain of Hussain? Let me take you to Karbala and show you the pain Hussain felt in Karbala. Let me take you to Karbala and let me show you the pain Hussain felt in Karbala. When Hussain fell on the dirt, he could not land on the dirt because so many arrows were embedded in his body that he could not land on the dirt. He was hanging in the air. He was hanging in the air. And you know where Imam Hussein fell and where he was killed. It was in a different place than where he was killed. When he fell to the ground, that was the place he was foretold. That was in a different place. Imam Hussein, in order to reach that place, he was now crawling on his knees and hands. In order to reach that place. How did Imam Hussein know where the foretold place was? Hadith says, and our riwayat say, that Fatima was sitting there. And Hussein saw Fatima and said, Mother, I'm coming to you, Mother. Mother, I'm coming to you, Mother. He went to Fatima. He went to Fatima. He went there, put his head on her lap and said, Mother, give me relief while I go through this last test. He went through that. And then after that, Hussein, you want to know what Hussein felt while he was lying there? He was in pain. His head was being slaughtered. But then what happened is that when these people saw Hussein is helpless, you know, they started running towards the haram. They started running towards the haram and said, let's go and plunder the haram of Hussein. Let's go and plunder the tents of Hussein. They started running there. Imam Hussein mustered up all the energy he had. Every strength that he had in his body, he mustered it up. Took a spear in his hand, lifted himself up by the support of the spear and called out to these people, oh, you people, if you're not Muslim, at least be free, man. I am still alive. Don't go to my haram yet. Imam Radha, you want to feel the pain of Hussein? Let me show you the pain of Hussein, how Hussein is feeling. You know, in one mind is Allah's ibadat, on the other mind is the haram of Rasulullah. Hussein is being split up in every direction. Every direction Hussein is being split up. If that wasn't enough, then Hussein, when he was killed and when he was lying in Karbala, they came and trampled his body in such a way. They trampled his body in such a way that Maqtal says, that the books of Maqtal says, that when the hooves of the horses were pressing down on the body, the front of the body will reach the end of the body, the back of the body will reach the front. Hussein was being smashed up from both sides.
سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ مَعْتَبِ حُسَيْنٍ